How would a Fred Thompson presidential run shake up the GOP contest?
Well, it would shake it up because Fred Thompson would immediately become a top-tier candidate, and that means that support from Romney and McCain in particular would drop a little bit, and probably even a little bit from Romney. But it would transform the race because it would create a new major player. It probably would hurt somebody like a Mike Huckabee as well. And given that Thompson hasn't campaigned at all, and yet he's second or third in the polls, depending on how you want to measure it and which polls you pay attention to, the fact that he would spring to, first or second or something like that very quickly makes him a front runner and a contender by any standard.
What would be his strengths, do you think?
Well, certainly one of his strengths is that he has, you might call, rapport with the camera. You know, he is an actor, and he's skilled in delivering lines, and he's comfortable up there. He's also no fool. I mean, the man's clearly intelligent. He's done some tough things in his life. I mean, he was even involved in the Watergate investigation. He's got, he's trained as a lawyer. He has an ability to fit with the Republican base probably a little neater than the other three candidates, and that gives him a certain strength. His recent video that appeared on YouTube where he took on Michael Moore is kind of a classic demonstration of why he's a formidable politician, because there he is, poking fun at Michael Moore in lots of different ways, including smoking a huge cigar, and he delivers his lines flawlessly, and he's kind of has a folksy way. I mean, he drove the red pickup truck in 1994, and he might dust that off and bring it out again, but that's a sign of his ability just to connect with people, and he's going to be formidable if he chooses to run.
Is his weakness that he's not as focused or doesn't have that kind of workaholic personality?
Well, one of the raps against him is that he's, lazy, that he's not a hard worker. I'm not sure that that's necessarily fair. The way I might frame it instead is that he's not been driven to be president. I mean, this is not something he's wanted to do since he was 10 years old. It's something that he's probably thought about from time to time, but it hasn't been his burning desire. And he sees now an opportunity and perhaps a need. And so he hasn't been the hard worker by some people's standards, but I think it's another way of saying that he hasn't been somebody who's been so ambitious as willing to do anything to be president. And that, I think, is a quality the American public will like. We want our politicians, our presidents in particular, to be kind of above the political fray. He has a little bit of that in him. Not that he isn't political, he's clearly a Republican, etc., but I'm not sure the rap about him being, lazy is a fair one. I mean, the man's had a pretty successful career, and it isn't simply based on just raw talent. It's also some hard work and energy that he had to expend.
Would he be skillful in his advertising, since he's so good before the cameras? I know, because you look so much at candidates' advertising.
Well, I would think that he would be able to do more effective ads that relied on him in the spots, just like he did with Michael Moore. The actual quality of his advertising is anybody's guess, partly because what kind of consultants will he be able to hire? I mean, that's the one big question mark about him starting late, is that, for example, Alex Castellanos, who is one of the more prominent Republican consultants, signed on with Romney, which was a huge benefit to Romney. But that means that he's not available, for example, for someone like Senator Thompson. And so I think that he should be able to sign up the kinds of talent. But if they make use of his skills, and I think he'll be able to produce good ads, but I suspect all the candidates will do pretty good ads, but if you want to feature someone in them, Thompson's probably a better bet than John McCain or Rudy Giuliani.
He did do the voice in the ones for Corker, and I guess he's helped out some other candidates too.
Well, that's right. I mean, and keep in mind that when Corker was in trouble, that's who he turned to. And he turned to him because he has a kind of a reassuring voice, he has this folksy way, and he's still very popular here in the state of Tennessee. And I think he has popularity, nationwide, and so it'll be an interesting campaign, and I think one that could, take him far if run right and he's able to deal with the tough questions. The big thing he has to face, and I don't know how well he'll handle this, is that when you decide to run for president, you want to sit behind the big desk, so to speak. The intensity, the difficulty, the frequency of the questions ratchet up numerous levels. And he has to be prepared for that. It's not like running for the Senate. It's not like being a senator. And so is he prepared? And I don't know. But if I were to guess, I think that that's partly why he's delaying it right now. He's getting himself prepared. He's giving some speeches, getting himself back into the mode, thinking about his views on a variety of different issues. Because you can't just be president without a plan. I mean, the public does care about that, and they want to know what he stands for and what his ideas are. And he's got to work on that. And I think that if he succeeds at that, he's, as I said earlier, he's going to be tough person in this race to be.
He comes out of the Howard Baker mode, which most people that know Baker think of him as being more of a centrist or a moderate. But has Thompson moved to the right as a senator?
Well, I don't know that he's moved to the right. I mean, he does not have a long political resume. I mean, he was senator for 8 years. His voting record was certainly very conservative. I mean, he scored 86 out of 100 points on lots of these conservative indexes. And so, you know, from time to time he'll cross over to the Democratic side, but not very often. It's always hard to label people. I mean, he's certainly going to be more conservative than someone like Rudy Giuliani. You know, how much more conservative he is than Mitt Romney or McCain would probably depend on who you ask. But there's a certain comfort level, I think, that a lot of the conservative base would have with Thompson, especially the southern conservative base, because that's going to have more of a religious focus than, for example, maybe Orange County Republicans from California. So it'll be interesting to see, but I don't see that he's changed his views very much on issues. He does have some moderate stance, and that's part of his appeal. He's a conservative, but I think somebody who can, in fact, attract some Democrats and certainly some independents in a general election if he were, in fact, to get the nomination.
What has been the impact of the election, of the campaign anyway, starting so early?
Well, I don't know exactly the impact. I do know that the American public is engaged by this. I mean, the amount of interest that they have is at a very high rate, much higher than people would expect. I think that there are lots of Americans who want change. And so the one reason why we're thinking about the next presidential election so early is because it's a way to kind of think, well, there's going to be a change in a year and a half, and they just want to start moving towards it. Certainly among the impact will be, well, it would be interesting to see if the public does tire of the campaign, because there's going to be a huge, what I would call, ad war. You know, candidates are raising millions upon millions of dollars, and they're going to invest approximately two-thirds of those dollars into advertising buys on television. So you're going to see ads flying on both sides, all over the map, in all key states. Tennessee certainly is likely to be one key state because it's moved up its primary, but, you know, New Hampshire and Iowa, Nevada, South Carolina, all those, and then the general election will be the same thing. You know, I don't know if the American public will tire of it or not. I mean, this is an important election, just like all elections, but this is going to be one about, you know, change, and so I have faith the public will stick with it, and that, you know, there will be a lot of complaining about all the money that's being spent, but at the end of the day, this is a pretty important choice, and it's probably worth investing in.
Was that accurate, those reports, that some candidates, such as Hillary Clinton, might skip Iowa because they had so many other primaries around the same time?
Well, there was a memo that apparently somebody within the Clinton campaign penned and said that they recommended that she not compete in Iowa because it was going to be hard going there and she was going to have to invest so much time that it would hurt her down the road. Now, she's disavowed that, and I can see the logic of why you might want to skip Iowa, but, you know, it's a stepping stone and you want to try to do well in it. So I don't know what will in the end happen in the case of Iowa, but I think people have to try to compete in it because those later primaries are going to be really, really important. And one way you get, you know, momentum and you get notoriety and you get a bit of buzz created is by doing well. And if you skip one, that's going to be a huge problem. So my guess is that Iowans will have a pretty important choice, and Hillary Clinton will be there at the end of the day competing hard for votes.
Have any major candidates that went on to win skipped Iowa?
Well, yes, the answer is yes to that, but that's only because in 1992, Tom Harkin was running for president, and he's senator from Iowa. No one, he was going to win Iowa, so it wasn't competitive. So Bill Clinton didn't do well in Iowa. And Iowa does matter, but this year in particular, it's likely to matter even more, though, of course, with Nevada and South Carolina and New Hampshire, there's a little bit of more spreading out of the different kinds of starter states, if you will. It will be interesting to see, and a lot of it is simply not predictable ahead of time. We'll probably be able to look in the past after it's happened and say, oh yeah, we understand that, but anticipating all of it. Because remember, primaries are Democrats competing against Democrats for the support of Democrats, and the same on the Republican side. Well, that means the anchor of partisanship isn't there. And in the general election, a Republican is going to be drawn to the Republican Party, and that's going to be kind of an anchor. They may vote Democratic, but that's not going to happen all that often. But here, you have candidates with not big differences on the issues, speaking to people who like them all. I mean, somebody may vote for Hillary Clinton over Obama, but they'll like both candidates. And so preferences are very weak, and you can see them moving up and down, and people will suddenly gain a lot of support and lose a lot of support because none of the depth of support is very deep. And so one thing that I always caution people is don't invest a huge amount of money or energy, so to speak, in believing in the polls. because the polls at this point in time are very fickle, and you could see a 15, 20-point move overnight, literally.
Which candidate on the Democratic side would fear Thompson the most, do you think?
Who would compete most successfully against Thompson?
Either way, or who would be most afraid of Thompson?
Well, I think all of them should be afraid of Thompson. I think Thompson, by some standards, may be the strongest contender. Of course, you could argue that Giuliani would be the strongest contender, but I'm not sure about that, partly because, first of all, he may not get the nomination because of his liberal views on social issues. But if he were to get the nomination, I could easily see a third-party movement coming out of the Christian right to express their unhappiness, and that would then throw the election to the Democrats very easily. So a Romney campaign in the general election, while he would appeal to a lot of moderate voters, more so than a more conservative candidate, it's kind of a mixed bag. And you might not have a lot of turnout from the base because of the views on abortion, even if there wasn't a third-party candidate. But Thompson's somebody who they should be most worried about. I also think Romney's a formidable contender because he knows a lot about policy. He is somebody who, in fact, looks the role. He's pretty smooth. I think that any of those candidates are strong. But 2008 is a year that, on average, should favor the Democrats. Republicans have been in power 8 years, and usually you change over. The economy looks like it's softening up a little bit. And, of course, we're not at peace. We're at war. And the public doesn't like that, and they don't like this war in particular. And so whoever the Republican is, they have to find a way to get Bush's support and at the same time distance themselves. That's a balancing act that I wouldn't want to try to pull off.
And do you think Thompson against either Obama or Clinton or Edwards, is it sort of a similar issues, or would one particularly have an advantage?
Well, you see, one of the things to keep in mind is that right now we have judgments about Obama, we have judgments about Clinton, Edwards, etc. If Obama wins the nomination, that means that Obama not only has this charisma and ability to speak and reach out and be optimistic, if you will, he also have been able to go through this meat grinder and develop actually a substantive message. And if he comes out of it with the nomination, I think he's going to be very hard to beat because he's been toughened up by the process. He's been vetted by the process. So that it's hard to estimate people's probabilities because any candidate who comes away with the nomination is going to be a better candidate than they are right now. So on average, you've got to favor the Democrats because of the structural features and that somebody will come out of this looking pretty good, whether it be Hillary Clinton or Obama or Edwards or even Al Gore. I mean, Gore would be somebody who would be tremendously a powerful figure in the general election. But, it's tough to guess. But I believe that Thompson has the most crossover appeal, maybe because he's a former actor, maybe because he has these Reagan-esque qualities, whatever the case may be. But people will be comfortable with him. And I can't imagine that he wouldn't perform well in debates and he wouldn't perform well in the stump and stuff. So, he would be somebody I think the Democrats would be most worried about. Because McCain's got his big problems. He's almost an incumbent at this point in time. He's tied to Iraq, and that's going to be an albatross around his neck, I think. But again, if things turn around in that country, and let's hope they do, then maybe that becomes a benefit. But right now, it's an anchor.
What are the chances that Gore will run?
Well, I don't know what the probabilities are. As I've said to lots of people, the vice president's happy. He has time to decide. He has options. And I wouldn't bet on it. But at the same time, if the right situation arose, he might. But if you think about the kind of influence he's had, it's pretty amazing. He's put global warming on the map. The public seems ready for the kinds of change. And so there's part of him that has to be tempted by. In fact, there's a cover of Time magazine that talks about the last temptation of Al Gore. I wouldn't put the odds at very, very high right now, but if Obama and Clinton, for instance, go at it and both damage each other, I could see him potentially jumping in the race. But he has a lot of time because he could raise so much money so quickly that money's not a concern, and he still has kind of the vestiges of an old machine, so to speak, or apparatus, if you will, from running in 2000 that he could put together pretty quickly. I also suspect he'd run a somewhat unconventional campaign. It would be very interesting if he chose to run, but given the kind of influence he has and the fact that he's a contend individual, there's good reasons for him not to. And he has a good political sense about him. He's got good political judgment, as demonstrated by the things that he's been right about over the last 10 years, which is his record's better than about any other politician in the country. And he'll see if the timing's right. It's these types of things. But if he chooses to run, there's somebody else who would upend the apple cart. Very, very quickly. Well, I've heard somebody say, well, if Thompson runs, Gore won't, because there wouldn't be, you know, enough room for two Tennesseans. I think that's a preposterous idea. I mean, there's plenty of room for two Tennesseans, two popular Tennesseans. You know, we'll see. I mean, I think the odds of Thompson running are much, much higher than the vice president. But both could decide not to or decide to run, and there are going to be people to reckon with if they choose to enter the race.